This is Digital Story Podcast number 670, January 15th, 2019. Today's theme is the DJI Osmo Pocket Review, Las Vegas, and more. I'm Derek Story. Las Vegas was lit during CES week. Thousands of technology professionals from all over the world converged on Sin City to show their inventions and discover those by others. I was in the middle of it all, and with me was the DJI Osmo Pocket to record the sights and sounds of this consumer tech wonderland. So how did it perform? Is the Osmo Pocket a breakthrough device or just another geek toy? Stay tuned for my verdict. Las Vegas could not be a better place to test this device. I mean, especially during CES week when there's so much going on. Now, I had had a review copy of the Osmo Pocket for, I don't know, a week or two before I left for Las Vegas. But I knew that Las Vegas was the place that I wanted to test it. So in all honesty, I didn't even bother until I got there. And I'm kind of glad, too, because it became sort of a singular experience of, you know, videotaping and recording all the sights and sounds of Las Vegas with this brand new device. It was different than anything that I had done before in terms of reporting. Now, before I get into all the tech specs and all the stuff about this device, let me explain a little bit about what it is and why people might be interested in it. It is a handheld device. In other words, it is really small. It fits in my shirt pocket. And I mean, it doesn't pull my shirt pocket down to my belt. I mean, it fits in my shirt pocket and looks okay. It is smaller than my iPhone X. What it has is a gimbal on top that looks very much like the gimbal that you would see on a DJI drone, a Spark or a Mavic or any of those. It behaves the same, it feels the same, except that instead of flying through the air, you're holding it in your hand. Now, it has a little 1-inch by 1-inch screen on the back, and that sounds small, and it is, but it's big enough for handheld work, and you can connect it to your iPhone or to your Android phone through a connector that comes, you know, with the device. And these are interchangeable connectors, so you pick the one that works for your phone and you go from there, and then you have a nice large smartphone screen to work with the device, and I'll talk about the pros and cons of doing that. Now, you can record 1080p video, HD video. You can record 4K video and real 4K video at 30 frames a second or 60 frames a second. You can record two types of panoramas, either a 180-degree panorama, and with the programmed gimbal, I'll tell you, the panoramas are spot on. It's not you know, just like trying to hold the camera really steady and then shuffling your feet every little bit, or you trying to hold your iPhone, you know, at a constant pace as you arc from one side to the other. No, this is precise. And it's fun to watch it do it. You can also do panoramas that are 3x3. So they're not quite as wide, but they cover more vertical space. You can do time-lapse. You can do still photos, 12 megapixels. So there's a lot that this thing can do just sitting in your pocket. Now, the reason why you might consider this, in addition to all the other image capture devices that you have, is because of the gimbal, in all honesty. You have 4K and you have gimbal combined into one device that's very light. And when I say, you know, very light, I'm talking about 4 ounces. 4 ounces. That is light. And why would you need or want a gimbal? Well, the thing about it is the same thing with your drone, in that when you have a gimbal, then, and especially a smart one, like the ones designed by DJI, Then when you're moving, either moving with your feet or you're on something and you're recording, or you're just moving your hand, let's say you're sweeping slowly or panning slowly from left to right. When you're moving, the gimbal helps keep the video steady. And I mean cinematic steady. I mean that look that is very hard to get any other way. Now, one of the things that I learned when I was moving and video recording with this device is that, you know, I had to shorten my strides a bit. Here I am, this big, tall guy, and I just can't take these big, loping, giant strides while I'm recording video. Because as good as this gimbal is, you still get a little bit of that up and down motion. However, when I shortened my steps and I took smaller steps and was a little bit more focused on what I was doing, I had remarkably still video while walking. That's pretty cool stuff. And I talk a little bit about this in the article. I published a full review on the digital story. And there are video clips, sample movies, pictures, all that stuff there. And I wanted to do that ahead of the podcast, so all that background information would be there if you wanted to look at it after you hear what I have to say about it. So all that's there. I did a slow motion video at the Mirage volcano. I did a handheld video recording walking through one of the press events at CES. And then I did the thing where I hold it up and I turn the camera around toward me and I did an introduction, a vlog introduction. So it can do all these things and it doesn't attract a lot of attention. Now, one of the reasons why I have stayed away from gimbal devices prior to the Osmo Pocket is because they were just more fooling around than I wanted to do. And I really got a chance to look at things at CES because, I mean, video recording is king at CES. I mean, everyone is vlogging, right? Everyone is vlogging. Everyone either has a camera pointed at them or they have someone pointing a camera at them and they are describing what's going on around them and yada, yada, yada. And I saw iPhones in gimbal mounts. I saw big rigs that people were carrying around, gimbaled. I saw all sorts of different stuff. All of it, even the smartphone stuff, was much bigger than the Osmo Pocket and much more intrusive. In other words, when someone was coming at you with one of these devices, you noticed it. When I was walking towards someone with the Osmo Pocket, they would kind of notice, but really not think about it. And if you look at the one movie that I published, walking through the press event at CES, you'll notice that people look at me, they notice the Osmo, and then they just go back to what they're doing. They don't care. And that's one of the things that I really love. I love it in street photography, and I love it in movie making as well. So it has a real sort of stealth street photography feel to it. And that is going back to my original point. Why have I not had a gimbal device before other than with my drone? Well, because I did not want to lug around this big rig and look like, you know, some geek that, you know, is doing all this stuff with microphones and brackets and all that kind of stuff. I wanted something that was very innocuous and portable and just didn't get in people's faces, but yet would record my encounters with them in a very intimate way. And that is one of the things that the Pocket can do. Now, another reason why you might be interested in this is its price. So you get 4K video, you get slow-mo video, you get HD video, you get all the stuff I've talked about, for $350. $350, that is not a lot of money for what this does. And I think that's really important. If it were $1,000, I would have a different opinion of it. I would still like it, but I wouldn't love it. At $350 for what it does, I'm so impressed and I love it. Okay, so that's a little bit of background on why someone might be interested in this. They want to do 4K video. They maybe want to do some video blogging. They maybe want to file reports. They want to document stuff. And they want to do so without lugging around a bunch of equipment, yet they want output that looks really good. And that's what this device does. So it has a gimbal camera, a three-axis gimbal, with a CMOS sensor that's 1 over 2.3 inches. So it's a small sensor, but it performs quite well. It's very compact, 4.1 ounces, 4.8 inches high. It can do up to 4K video at 60 frames a second. It connects to smartphones via the MIMO app, and the MIMO app is free. And if you have a DJI drone, the MIMO app will feel very familiar to you because it just feels like it's a cousin to what we're using already. You can do 12 megapixel JPEGs. It includes a Lightning and USB Type-C adapters, and you can interchange them. It has active track, face track modes, point of view. It does time lapse and motion lapse, and it has night shot and panoramic modes. So it has a lot of functionality in a very small device. Now, the things that I were most interested in was obviously the video recording, both 1080p and 4K, the slow-mo capture, the time-lapse, panorama, and then how does the audio sound? And I tested all of those in Las Vegas. I'm going to talk about them right now. Let's start with the video recording, which I've been touching on already. The video is quite good, both HD and 4K video. They're both excellent, I have to say. And I reviewed them on all my different devices, but the real test for me is on my iMac, because that has probably the most critical screen of all my devices. And, you know, it's funny, I did notice a difference, a quality difference between 1080 and 4K video. And generally speaking, I shoot just regular HD video, in part because I've never really had a good 4K recording device that was easy and that did the things that I wanted. Now that I have the Osmo Pocket and I have something that really does nice 4K, you know, I'm probably going to shoot it more, in all honesty, because if for no other reason, it is such a joy to look at when you look at it on a high definition screen. Now, the slow-mo capture, I thought was quite interesting. And one of the things I was curious about it is that, is it just slow-mo on the device? If I offload the files to my Mac and play them there using QuickTime Player, will they still be slow-mo, or, you know, do I have to do something to them? And the answer to that is that slow-mo is slow-mo with this device. In other words, if you use slow-mo and then you copy the file or upload the file, let's say to your computer, let's say to a Mac, and use current version of QuickTime Player to play it back, it plays back in slow motion, and it is really quite nice. This is a point where I'm going to say there has been a lot of debate about this device. And surprisingly to me, a lot of people have been very critical of various functions of it, including the slow-mo capture. Is it slow-mo that I would use if I were making a movie for theater release? Probably not. I would probably spend a little bit more money and get a little nicer device. Is it slow-mo that is good for me publishing on YouTube or Vimeo and including in my personal projects and my projects even for the digital story? It definitely is good enough. It's quite good. And the test that I did, the slow-mo test that I did, was at night. So really piling on here, right? It was at night at the Mirage Hotel for the 10 o'clock showing of the volcano eruption. So here I was standing out there at 10 o'clock at night when the volcano starts to erupt, just holding this thing in my hand, no tripod, no even putting on a fence or anything, just holding in my hand and methodically panning around, capturing, you know, these flames shooting up in the air from, you know, this very cool volcano eruption that they do three times a night. Night photography, slow-mo, you know, all of this piled into one thing, And it did really well. And you can look at the movie and decide for yourself. So I think the slow-mo capture is fun, and I like it. And I love having a device that has slow-mo and a gimbal. And I think having those two things together really provides some great opportunities for doing some interesting stuff. I also played with the time-lapse function, and it was quite good. And you have some controls, and it's easy, and it builds the time-lapse movie for you. Same thing with the panoramas. You know, the MIMO app, when you plug the device in, when you plug the Osmo Pocket into your smartphone, launch the MIMO app, then, you know, you have all sorts of cool functionality. It will build the time-lapse for you. It'll build the panoramas for you. It'll do all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, you can share them immediately because, you know, you're on a connected device. However, you can, you know, build them yourself, the panoramas. It has the individual files. And if you copy those individual files to your computer, not through the MIMO app, but just through the card itself, the micro SD card, then you can build the panoramas in Lightroom or whatever you use to do that. So you do have, you know, these different options. The MIMO app, though, does quite a good job of creating content for you, of assembling these things. And it has the advantage of you being right there in the field and then being able to share them right away if you wish, or just not use your computer if you don't want to. If you just want to use your smartphone and this little pocket device, then you can, and the results are actually quite good. Now, a lot of people ask me, and by the way, people who were interested in this device would notice me using it and would come talk to me. So I answered a lot of questions in the field about the Osmo Pocket. And one of the things that people asked me about was, how is the audio on it? So I thought it was very important that I did, an audio report, you know, with me talking into the camera, and publish that so people could listen for themselves and decide for themselves. The way that the Pocket is designed is that the microphone port is on the back of the device. So on the back of the device, basically you have the 1-inch by 1-inch LCD screen. You have your connector. You have two buttons. The button on the left is a record button, and the button on the right is a multifunction button. And you use it to power on and to power off. You can press that button, the multifunction on the right, twice while you're holding the Osmo Pocket up, and it will center the frame for you. In other words, you know, sometimes the gimbal is there, you know, it's up, it's down, it's all over. It depends on how you've been holding it. But once you get the device pointed in the direction that you want, if you double press that button, then it will center the lens, the camera, to what's right in front of you. And it's very handy. I use this all the time. In fact, I use it before I start recording anything. I press that button twice, center it, then I hit the record button on the left. Now, if you triple tap that button, then it turns the camera around towards you. So now it's pointing right at you. You have the monitor and you have the microphone port on the back. So it's pointing towards you. You direct it, you know, you get the thing positioned the way you want, and, you know, you can just hold out your arm, point it back to you. You have the LCD screen right there, get yourself framed and everything, and then push the record button and start talking. So what I did was, when I recorded the sample movie, I stood outside near a busy street. So I had a busy street in the background, and then I had me talking, and then I just talked normally, and I let her fly. So you can listen to that and decide for yourself how the audio sounds. I didn't enhance anything. I didn't edit anything. None of the clips are edited at all. The only thing that I did was in QuickTime Player, I would trim off the very front and the very end. You know, when you're starting the thing, that is the only editing that I did at all. Just clipped the two ends so that it was clean. So listen for yourself. I thought that the audio was quite good. And because the microphone is on the back, when you're in a loud setting, it'll capture the ambient sounds of the setting, of the environment, but it doesn't get over amped, right? So I think it really works quite well. Now, here's a couple of things additionally that I didn't get to talk about in the review. One of them is the case itself. The case that it comes in is really clever, and I like it a lot. First of all, the case is like a little coffin. It's like a little coffin for the Osmo Pocket, and the pocket fits right in there. And then it has a rubber strap that, you know, secures it in there, keeps it in there. It protects the lens, it protects the gimbal, but you can access, while it's in the case, you can access the micro SD card because that slot is pointing upwards, which I think is, you know, really handy. And then you can also access the power port, which is on the bottom. It has a hole for the power port, and so that you can charge it also while it's in the case. So I just love the case, and I think it is very well designed as the Osmo itself. And, you know, it's really one of those little nice things. You know, when you get a device, there are nice things and there are gotchas that you didn't expect. And so one of the nice things that I didn't expect was how nice the case is. Another thing that I was hopeful for, but I wanted to temper my expectations, was the MIMO app. And the MIMO app is really quite good. I like the DJI app that I use for flying my Spark, and I was hoping the same for this device, and it is. And that's the next thing that I want to talk about, is the alternative of using the device with your smartphone. My preference for using the Osmo Pocket is as a standalone device. That's the way I would choose to use it, given the choice. But there are certain situations where you need to play with the controls a bit more. One of them I noticed was outside in contrasty light, where I wanted to make some exposure adjustments. And in that case, then, it really is better to have the thing connected to your smartphone. You have easier access to the controls. It's easier to control the gimbal. You have a bigger screen. Like if you're doing, you know, if you're recording yourself talking, it's easier to frame. There's all sorts of advantages or situations where you may want to connect the phone. Now, the one thing I don't like about connecting it to the phone is that you just have that little connector holding these two things together. And at times, it feels a little precarious, and I wasn't crazy about that. So I would say that my guess is that 75% of the time, I'm going to use it handheld without the smartphone and save the smartphone only for those instances where I really need to have it connected. However, when it's time to review the content that you've created, there's nothing better than going to a coffee shop, getting yourself a nice cappuccino, plugging this thing into your smartphone, and then reviewing everything that you've captured that day or that evening. That is fun. That is really fun. And on my iPhone 10, the content looked absolutely fabulous. So if you want more, you know, kind of details, and you want to see more samples about what this thing can do, then I would go, and I'll link to it in the show notes, go to the review that I published on Sunday. And take a look at the video clips, because, I mean, that is going to tell you a lot about how you feel about this device. As for me, here's my bottom line. I never thought that I would, you know, own a gimbal, a land gimbal device. I have one for the air, but I never thought I would own one for the land, because there was just nothing out there that appealed to me. I have a review copy of this from B&H Photo. And I'm going to buy it. I'm going to spend the $350 and buy it, because I think it is worth every penny. I enjoyed using it in Las Vegas, and I'm already thinking of projects that I can do with it in 2019, projects that I might not have done before, and projects that may turn out quite well, you know, for all of us. So this thing has already kind of got my creative juices going. I'm pretty excited about it. I like it, and I really don't see too many downsides to it. Where I could see it falling short for some people depends on how they need to use it. This is a device for individuals who want to record the world around them as they move through it, who want to document things, who want to talk into the camera and connect with their viewers. It's an individual device. It's not for doing, in my opinion, it's not for doing interviews. It's not for doing work that's beyond that scope. But for individual documentation and creative projects, I think it's fantastic. I think it is a breakthrough product. And I recommend it to nimble photographers who want to have a gimbal device and who want to record the world around them and then share their thoughts about it. The Portfolio Box Tip of the Week. So every week for the next few weeks, I think through February, I'm going to do a Tip of the Week, and we're going to have a contest related to Portfolio Box. We're actually going to run three contests, and each winner will get a free one-year pro membership. So this is a big deal. So let's start with this week's tip. How do I make a Portfolio Box page private? Well, in order to make a specific page private, you need to lock it with a password, and you can do that with Portfolio Box. You click on Edit This Page, click on Settings, check the box Password Protect, and then choose a password. Now, in order to test this setting, you must log out of the admin panel, because when you're logged in as admin, you have access to all of the pages. But if you log out or if you test your page on a different computer, then it should ask you for the password. You provide the correct password, and then you have access. So I think this is really cool, because even though we're talking about Portfolio Box as our personal portfolio or as our business portfolio to show off our best work, we can also use it to deliver images to clients and for other purposes where maybe we want to have it password protected so that the clients are the only ones that have access to the pages that we create for them. And you can do that with Portfolio Box, and it's very easy to do, as I just outlined. Now, our ongoing photo contest is black and white portraits, and the deadline is January 22nd, so it's not far away. And this is something that you really want to enter, I'm telling you right now, because the prizes, other than being featured on the digital story, is 1 year Portfolio Box Pro membership, which means that you will also get your custom domain name at that same time as part of that prize. Now, all you have to do is send your best black and white portrait to thenimblephotographer@gmail.com by January 22nd. In the subject, put black and white portrait contest. Do this. These are fun. First of all, it's a good exercise for you to, you know, practice your black and white portraiture. And second of all, in terms of contests, your odds are going to be very good on this contest, that you have a legitimate chance to win a one-year membership and to be featured on the digital story. Get to it. Do this project this week and send that image to me, and let's have some fun with this. Now, to create your own Portfolio Box site, all you have to do is click on the tile that's on all the pages of the digital story, or click on the link in the show notes. Do that even if you're setting up a free account right now, because if you upgrade to a pro account, you'll save 20% off that annual $83 price, which gets it to you for just a little over 60 bucks, and that is a steal. Portfolio Box, I'm telling you, I'm getting great feedback from our members that are using it right now. Something that you want to take a look at. Enter that contest, throw your lens cap in the ring, and give yourself a chance to win a one-year pro membership. Five things to keep in mind when visiting Las Vegas. I have a few tips for those of you who are planning a trip to Las Vegas based on my many years of visiting there. And here we go. Number one, tip number one, set your gambling budget before you leave and stick to it. If you lose your money, it's gone, and throwing more money after it will not bring it back. Now, this is advice that I got from my dad way back when. I don't gamble because I feel like gambling is just throwing my money away anyway. But if you like gambling as part of your entertainment in Las Vegas, set your budget, stick to it, and do not pull more money out of the ATM If you start to lose and you think you're going to get your money back, you won't. You'll just lose more money. Number two, alternate water and alcohol when you're out on the town. So if you have a cocktail, next drink, have an ice water. Cocktail, ice water. Go back and forth. Believe me, it will help you stay in control, help you from getting dehydrated, and it will help prevent the dreaded Las Vegas hangover, which you do not want. Number three, do not accept anything handed to you on the street, period. Nothing good is handed out on the street. Stay away from it. Just smile and keep walking. Number four, avoid rip-off cab companies. Now, my experience has been that it's best to stick with ride sharing and the monorail. But if you have to take a cab, such as from the airport to the hotel, ask the cab driver what the expected price should be and ask if there are any add-on charges beyond what the meter reads. And this is what has irritated me in the past. The meter was, say, $16, and then I have another $10 or $12 in add-on charges. I don't even understand what they are. And that, to me, is annoying. Fares to most hotels on the Strip from the airport should be no more than $23. So keep that number in mind. And again, if you can, use ride sharing, use the monorail, do a little bit of walking, only use cabs as needed. There are some very good cab companies out there, but there are also some that I do not like at all. And finally, number five, shy away from overpriced restaurants. There are a lot of them in Las Vegas. There are many, many fine eating establishments in that city. Do your homework first. Find the places that have good meals at good value in a good location where you can really enjoy your evening and avoid those outrageous steakhouses and big name chef places that will run you hundreds and hundreds of dollars more than you should pay. Okay, do a little bit of homework first, scout out your places, and then go out there and have a great time. All right, just a couple more things before we wrap up. I want to talk about the Sonoma Coast Workshop that's coming in July, July 17th through 19th. I have secured a beautiful place for us just south of Bodega Bay that will serve as our headquarters during this event. This workshop is coming together beautifully. We've got plenty of room for classroom, for our presentation work, beautiful areas for relaxing. We have sleeping accommodations there. This is going to be a lot of fun. And I have it all lined up and booked, and I'm working on the final touches of the itinerary right now. So if you want to join us in July, July 17th through 19th, and I hope you do, please visit our workshops sign-up page. That's on thenimblephotographer.com. Just look for workshops, and you can place your $100 deposit that will hold your place in line. We already have a number of sign-ups, but we still have a few available. And this will secure your ability to attend when official registration begins a bit later. You can also read more about this workshop by visiting the workshops page on the Digital Story. And again, workshops is in the nav bar. Just click on that and you'll see descriptions for all of our workshops and their dates. The Sonoma Coast Workshop is turning out to be a very popular one. Joshua Tree right now is our most popular workshop. Sonoma Coast at the moment is our second most popular workshop. Check it out, and if you want to come, place your deposit. Inner Circle members, thank you so much for supporting this podcast. And this current photo challenge, Repetitive Pattern, is doing really well. We're getting a lot of activity. We're having a lot of fun. We still have another day for you to participate. And remember, the winner of Repetitive Pattern will be featured on our Patreon site and will also win a Nimble Photographer water bottle designed by Victor Knox. I'm really enjoying the activity that we're having on that page. And if you want to become part of the Inner Circle and join us in the photo challenges and everything else that we do, just click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Support this podcast. Keep all the plates spinning and have fun while doing so. And finally, a big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper for supplying us with some of the most fantastic inkjet paper in the world, supplies for our printers, tutorials, You name it. Reviews, right? All that stuff. A cool Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. Red River Paper is your oasis for inkjet printing. It rises up out of the desert the way Las Vegas does as you're flying in from east or west. Red River Paper, the longest running sponsor of The Digital Story and the place to go when it's time to start making artwork on paper that you can put on the wall, that you can hand to people and feel like a true artist. A big thanks to Red River Paper. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. Thank you so much for joining me. All right, you can read all the other stuff about the Osmo Pocket, but I'm telling you, I'm standing by my review. This is a cool device. For those of you that want your first 4K gimbal device, and those of you who are nimble photographers, take a close look at it. I think you'll like what you see. Thanks so much for joining me. Come back next week. I've got more hot stuff in the pipeline. Until then, have a great week. Bye-bye now.